Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Craft House in Fairfax. We're at Fairfax Corner. It is warm, pleasant, and delicious inside this building. What a venue. Come on out and say hello. We're going to be here all show long, taking you up to 6 o'clock this evening on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. The show is brought to you today and every day by the law firm, Condori and Murad. They're going to help you update your last will and testament. They'll set up a trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Danny, I have been hearing some rumors. I don't want to get the young people in the building too excited. I see some school-aged children are out here with us today. There could be a pretty sizable snowstorm coming our way this week.
Yeah, pretty annoyed about that. Enough. The people that are excited about weather events, quite frankly, can take a tiny pebble, kick it around for years, and then write a report about it extensively. They're so annoying.
Go back to your days as a school child, Danny. You were doing the good time dance.
Sure was. I have two school-aged children at home. They need to be in school. It's time. It's been time. Let's go! Out the door! Seriously, go away. Go to school and stay there. I need them in school. You can't make me wait an extra several days, then take it away from me. You understand what I'm saying? It's time to get the children to school. Well, they need to be in school.
This would be an all-timer for kids if on the back end of the two-week hiatus that you get for the holidays, you get pummeled with a snowstorm that then keeps you out of school for, around here, if we get 7, 8, 9 inches or whatever, that could be a week of school. Yep. Like, that could be you're not back until the following week. Danny Huhe is playing, you have to play dad. You have to play school teacher. I don't even know what all.
I don't know what
to do
either. Yeah, it's a survival because the adults have to work. There's no off. The kids need to be out of that house and in that school. So, if you're excited about snow, I have two letters for you. One's kind of towards the beginning of the alphabet, and then the one's a little bit later on. You could probably figure out what it is. It sucks. Get them in school.
So then you're going to think this is weird. I find in my adult life, ice, annoying and terrible.
Yep.
Wintry mix, two of the worst words in the English language, like the cold rain, the icy rain. That's disgusting.
So wintry mix.
But here's where I might lose some of you, possibly.
Okay.
When I start hearing about several inches of snow, I get a little bit excited. I kind of like the possibility of a nice snowstorm. But I don't want to just get an inch or two of snow.
Okay.
I'm talking about a legitimate, can we build a snowman?
Do you want to build a snowman?
Do you want to build a snowman?
Okay,
I will build a snowman with you. Like that kind of snowstorm. Uh-huh. I'm talking about let's go have a snowball fight and tell all the neighbors to be outside at 3 o'clock. That's what I'm talking about. And we might get that. It's like a once every several year thing.
Yep.
I get up for that. It's like the Olympics. Mm-hmm. I don't care about skiing. I don't care about swimming. I don't care about track and field. But every 4 years, it's on my TV, and I care a little bit. So a good snowstorm, if I'm actually getting it, I don't know. What are you seeing in terms of accumulation?
4 to 5 on the old
Someone
inches,
in here, and they might be completely wrong. They definitely weren't Doug Kammer or a meteorologist. But someone in here, it might have even been Lucas, who's wearing a cap sweater, who I like, who works behind the bar. I think Lucas told me 10 to 12 inches in Gaithersburg or like Rockville or something.
Oh, no.
So that seems like an outrageous amount of snow.
That's too much. Any disruption is bad, and I don't have another way to say that. The children need to be in school. Stop taking them out of school.
I think you've made that point.
Yeah, and I'm going to keep hammering it until policy changes. Again, I support what you support. I hate the thing that's bad. I love the thing that's good. I agree with you out there. You've kept them out for too long as it is. They got out of school so early. They were home for so long before Christmas. Now you're going to give me
when,
extra time?
When did your kids get out? Didn't they get out like right, like the Monday before Christmas?
No. It was like
November 3rd?
No. Days before the days before. It's like instead of going up to the 22nd, I mean, whatever the math is, I can't remember what day
it
was.
So we used to do it the way Dad did it.
Yeah.
The way Grandpa did it.
Well, they went to school. That's what they did.
The way Papa did it.
Yep.
I would go, so like on a Wednesday, today, let me think. This year, Christmas was on Wednesday. Everything blends together. They've all been the same day for 3 weeks. But if Christmas was on Wednesday, we would have had a half day on Monday probably, on the 23rd.
Right.
We would have been off on the 24th and off on the 25th. Are you saying that is not what happened?
No, it's not what happened. They were out. I'm looking at the old calendar now. They got out the week before at some point. I don't know if it was Wednesday, Thursday, half day Friday, or some other kind of thing. But they've been home for too long. They need to be out of the home. And it's disruptive and awful. Maybe it's neat if there's some snow and there's the novelty of looking out the window at the snow for 7 seconds. But they're school age, which means they need to be in that school.
Do you enjoy? I enjoy shoveling snow.
I don't. You're like, hey, Dan. I don't know why you called me Dan right there. For
yeah,
some reason.
Dan.
Hey, Dan. Ruye. What's up, Dan?
You must be Dan Ruye.
Hey, you Dan? Hey, Danny. Do you want back pain? Would you like some? It's going to snow. Isn't that great? Your back's going to be sore. And your hamstrings look like they're going to snap for multiple days on end. Enjoy, buddy. Nope. All of it sucks. Every bit of it sucks. Now, I understand. I know where I live. I'm in the Mid-Atlantic. All right? I'm here in this swamp that's got weather extremes. I think we've got the widest array of weather of anybody in the country. I can't prove that scientifically. I think our lows are pretty low. Our highs are pretty high. It gets like 105 and humid in there. And it gets to plenty cold with all the wintry mixes and everything like that. I understand. Part and parcel. I bought the house. But it doesn't mean I'm not going to complain about it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I'm going to give it the business.
You still get to complain.
Mm-hmm.
That's reasonable.
Yep.
All right, the Rams have some Commanders fans complaining because they are resting many of their starters. I don't know why this is, but based on the calls we took yesterday and the poll that I did on Twitter, at Grant H. Paulson, more people want to play the Rams than the Bucks. I would rather play the Bucks. I don't know that Washington wins either game. There'll be a dog in both of them. I think both are winnable, but I would rather take my chances against Tampa than the Rams. The Rams currently would be the matchup in a 3-6. If they lose, Tampa wins. Tampa plays New Orleans. They'll probably win. Then they reverse spots, and now it's the Bucs against the Commanders, assuming they hold serve and beat Dallas. Here's who the Rams will be sitting this week in their game against Seattle. Matt Stafford will not play. Puka Nacua will not play. Cooper Kupp will not play. Kyren Williams will not play. Kevin Dotson will not play. Rob Havenstein, their lineman, will not play. The list goes on and on and on. If you have a Ram on your fantasy team and your championship has not been decided yet, you're getting screwed, just so you know, because they're not playing. But the Rams, and I don't really get this from Sean McVay, do not care about the three seed. They have a chance to play Washington or the loser of the Vikings and the Lions, and Sean McVay is willingly opting in to the possibility of playing Minnesota or Detroit as a 14-win team over playing the Commanders by making sure that Stafford, Nacua, Kupp, Williams, and others stay healthy.
Prioritizing health over whoever the opponent might happen to be, right? I mean, It certainly is a strategy. I don't know that I would do it, but this fits with who Sean McVay has been, quite frankly. I mean, again, he's the – I know some people are playing guys in the preseason, some are not. I'm not even pretending. I'm not even going to go through the illusion that any of these guys are going to dress for preseason games. So he's erred on this side of whenever possible to rest, you rest. And to a degree, I get it. I mean, they're such a veteran team. Maybe not. That's entirely fair. But Stafford's such a veteran guy, and when you start – doing that, you're going to sit Stafford, which is reasonable. Then you kind of cascade down. Well, if I'm not playing him, then why do I need to play this offensive lineman or these couple of receivers who are constantly banged up and fighting and have gone through a long grind after the bye week, etc. So obviously prioritizing health over anything else. I wonder if everybody was 5-by-5, would he still do this? My guess is yes, because like, to them, they're in, they're hosting a playoff game regardless, and that may be good enough for them. But yeah, it's a strategy certainly that'll get picked apart if and when they get beat by one of these great road teams that'll come in with 14 wins.
3,500 people voted on my poll at Grant H. Paulson. Who would you rather the Commanders play based on where they'd have a better matchup, Bucks or Rams? 54% of people say they'd rather Washington play in L.A. 46%, and I'm in the minority here, say they'd rather Washington go back to Tampa Bay where their season started, where the Bucs beat them handily in week one. I just think it's a completely different Commanders team than it was then, and that game's not all that relevant to me. But I think if you're Sean McVay, it's gutsy, man, because to your point, you're going to get destroyed. You know, you are going to get absolutely crushed if you lose in the opening round of the playoffs after sitting your guys. Then again, if you play your guys and somebody gets hurt, you'd get crushed for that too.
Right.
So I guess you kind of pick your poison with how do I have the best chance to get a playoff win? How do I have the best chance to string together some wins to go on some type of a run? And obviously having Kupp, Nacua, Stafford is the way to do that. I would also say lastly, this is a team that does have injury problems.
Yes.
Like Cooper Kupp is oft injured. Matthew Stafford is super injury prone. So I kind of get wanting them on the field a little bit less.
Yeah, I mean, Nakua's missed time this year, of course. As you said, they ride those horses so hard. Kyren Williams has a billion touches. So I get it. In general, though, by the way, I admire coaches, and paradigms have shifted here to a degree, but I've always admired coaches that weren't afraid of the press conference. Sean McVay's got enough cachet with the success he's had this early in his career, like the what forged him to kind of give him this leadership role, where he's not afraid to answer those kind of questions. You know, like it used to be guys, you know, wouldn't go for it on fourth down because they were afraid of the old newsman with a cigar in his mouth and a fedora asking him, why'd you do that? Why didn't you punt and play the field position game? Guys now are, you know, a little bit less afraid of that. And so to me, I admire McVay's decision that's a little bit bolder, right? It's not necessarily the conventional wisdom. It's more, I'm about my guys. I could give a damn about the opponent.
Grant and Danny broadcasting from Fairfax Corner. We're out here right now at Kraft House in Fairfax, where just about everybody got out of their seats and went over to the windows a moment ago.
I was like, what I'm saying is so profound. I've gotten everyone out of their chairs.
They all stood up and ran over to the windows to watch what is basically golf ball size hail.
Yeah.
Now coming down from the sky.
This Isn't it great?
I believe we'd call it nickel size hail on this radio station.
One could call it that, obviously. You could say
straight
that.
Straight down to the ground. And by the way, look, it's piling up like accumulating snow, essentially. Already on cars and things, because it's just big chunks of hail that are sticking to each other. Wild weather out there.
Yeah, it stinks. It got really cold. It was already cold coming in, but it feels like the temperature dropped maybe another 10 degrees.
This feels like a great time, Darris, for an Al Michaels, here we go.
Hail we go.
Drop. I mean, this is one of the, you like, come on out. It's warm. There's glass everywhere, so you get to watch the weather. This is a nice place to have some food and drink and stay warm. And do a little enjoying of the elements.
Outside. Here we go. Here we go.
Thanks, Al. I wasn't sure what was going on.
I mean, I've never seen. Yeah. This is very strange. You know what this looks like?
Huh?
Like, it's legit crazy to me. This looks like a snow globe to me.
Yes.
Like when you shake,
a snow globe
that has big white balls in it, essentially. Uh-huh. That's what we're talking about. Basically, there's like a half inch of snow on the ground based on 25.
In the last 30 seconds, yeah.
It's not real snow. It's not flakes. It's just giant golf balls.
Like, it's not
hail.
Johnny Cake Sawville.
So, as the show meteorologist, I can kind of attest to this,
yeah.
Actually.
Oh, you can speak to what's happening.
It's a snow squall.
Squall.
This is what it is. And if you look it up, it's basically as if it's like the lake effect snow of the Mid-Atlantic region. Like, this is kind of what we get. I don't really know why.
I don't know that we do. I've never seen this before.
No, this does happen. This has happened actually a few times over the last few years, but this one was a pretty big one, I must say. I've never seen it quite like this.
It went from zero to a hundy.
A meteorologist such as yourself has never seen anything like this?
I have not seen anything like
this,
but this is a snow squall.
At meteorologist school.
They did.
I told you all about
it. I mean, look at this. The kids that ran outside already have, like, snowballs the size of footballs out there. I mean, like, that was 30 seconds.
That was moments ago.
I've never seen anything like this.
There was just lightning as well.
Yeah,
there
so is this thunder snow?
This is thunder snow.
Ooh, there's thunder.
I heard thunder.
Okay.
This is wild.
I mean, this is insane. This is a developing situation. Yeah.
If anybody sees four people riding on horses rolling through, let me know. I need a local minister or something like that to get a couple things right.
Officially wacky, I will say. It's awesome because we're indoors here with 100 of our closest friends in the bar, and everyone's just at the windows basically because it's all natural light and windows all over the restaurant. We can just see right out into the parking lot. But For those of you listening around the DMV, I'm sure in a lot of places, you're going, what in the hell are these guys talking about?
What are these rubes talking about?
But if you're near Fairfax Corner, you already know. That was about an inch of, I can't call it snow. It's an inch of.
I mean, now it looks like it's
stuff
clumpy
snow. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like Sherman clump snow.
Wow. That
I'd
was
be
intense.
Good heavens.
If that happened during an NFL game, it would change the entire game.
Yes.
Like, we went from it's grass, the conditions are fine, the teams are just playing normal football, to on third down. That was on first and
right.
10.
Right, yeah, first and 10.
On third down.
During the huddle.
Now you can't call any of the plays you want to because there's snow everywhere.
A couple years ago, we first moved to our spot in Fairfax. I had my oldest in, like, flag football, whatever, which he really enjoyed for the most part. But something like this happened. It wasn't, like, this extreme. But we left the house. It was 50. So we had, like, a long sleeve layer on with, like, his shorts or whatever. And nobody, it wasn't on any forecast as far as I knew. Nobody was dressed appropriately for it. But it went from fine to freezing, wintry mix, sleeting, cold sadness. Like, first quarter, fine. Second quarter, disaster. And every one of these kids, like, during this game, is like, they're, like, shivering and their tears are frozen and, like, everyone got the flu. It was so stupid. And it reminds me of that, where it's like, no one was talking about this.
This is a really good zing from Richmond John. He just tweeted me, at Grant H. Paulson. He said, wait, golf balls and Ray's hail? Funny Danny is in absolute heaven. Golf balls and we're raising hail.
Oh, I see what's
all
happening.
All your favorite things.
Raise hail. We should hashtag that more.
If only there were puppies falling from the sky, you'd really be having a good time.
You'd love for puppies to fall to their deaths from the sky, Grant?
I didn't say that.
Yeah, well, as someone that doesn't love dogs, that's surprising from you.
You're a dog guy.
I do. I'm a big dog guy.
You're a dog.
Lifetime of dogs.
Like I am a cardio guy.
Yeah?
Yeah, like I'm a pickleball guy.
First of all, you are a pickleball guy.
I kind of
you had fun.
I had a blast yeah. playing pickleball. Where does Jaden Daniels rank among NFC quarterbacks? We're gonna get into that next. We're at the Kraft House in Fairfax, where we are hanging out in suddenly, like a Antarctica.
Live from the apocalypse.
Right. We are live. This is wacky. If we're still on the air in a few minutes, you'll hear our voices on Grant and Danny on the Fan. Welcome back to the Kraft House in Fairfax. Grant and Danny, it's a Friday field trip. I was outside making snowballs. I apologize for my tardiness. It got fun here outside. It got snow, or as Danny would say, unfun.
That's right. It got unfun. Got less fun.
We're having a good time indoors. It is warm. It is comfortable. The food is great. The drinks are cold. And you can enjoy the accommodations from Mother Weather from indoors, looking out the window. Check out the scene through the glass, which is, I think, the way we both like it.
That's the preferable way. Again, I know where we're talking about this. I asked Darius during the break, is this happening in D.C.? He said no. He has no idea what we're talking
about. Yeah, nobody knows.
Right. So I asked my wife here, a handful of miles away in Fairfax, and she was like, yeah, this is ridiculous. I had just gotten the kids to go outside, and they had to go right back inside, because of the apocalyptic weather.
I posted a picture at Grant H. Paulson. I said 45 seconds of Ray's hail did this.
Mm.
And it just looks like it's been snowing since like 10 a.m. or something like that. Definitely nuts. All right. Wanted to get into Jaden Daniels and where he ranks in the conference. I saw this discourse online. Thought it would be interesting for us just to discuss. I don't know that we got to take calls on it or anything like that. But right now, this moment, based on how he's playing and how these other guys are playing, who would you rather have starting for you in a playoff game going into the playoffs? You ready?
Yeah.
Let's go through this. Jared Goff, Detroit, the one seed right now. Would you rather have Jared Goff or Jaden Daniels?
So quick qualifying question. Is this neutral talent, neutral offensive, like league average personnel, offensive staff, and everything else?
That's an important
question. In other words, Jared Goff in Detroit is good. Jared Goff, I think a lot of other places would not be, in my opinion.
So this is actually a great question. I think we've got to do it this way. It's not like Goff on the Lions and Daniels on the Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
I think the point is you have everyone's inheriting
yeah.
like the same random offense and players, and we're doing this fantasy draft.
Yeah, 15.5 ranking in every category. Everyone gets kind of the same level talent
exactly.
playing field, et cetera. Yeah.
And, in other words, who would you rather have yep. on this like team to be named later, so to speak. So Goff versus Daniels.
Daniels.
I agree with you based on how he's playing right now. Now, Jared Goff, for the record.
Sensational season.
11 touchdowns and no interceptions in the last three games.
Yep.
And I would, if I'm the Lions, by the way, I'm not trading Jared Goff for Jaden Daniels right now.
No.
He runs my offense perfectly. He fits perfectly. He's the leader of my team. The fans annoyingly chant his name, which drives me crazy after every single game. I think that's just a lot to deal with and over the top. But whatever, they love him. But, yeah, I'm with you. I would rather have Daniels than Goff in, like, a neutral operation this coming week. How about Jaden Daniels or Jalen Hurts? Now, Hurts has been hurt. He has not played the last 2 weeks. But this is assuming he's back completely healthy, no restrictions from the concussion. And I would also just add that before that, Jalen Hurts was not having a great season. He had 18 touchdowns and 5 picks. His value largely comes from all of the 1 yard touchdown plunges on the tush push.
Yeah. So I think I'll differ from you on this one. It's Hurts narrowly for me just because I've seen that playoff run. I've seen that guy that outdueled Pat Mahomes in a Super Bowl. I probably should have won one. I've seen enough of that ceiling, which gives him a slight lean for me, just knowing, again, that offense, that system, that design. I know we're talking about everything neutral, but I like Hurts, I think, more than you do. So I would go Hurts, but narrowly.
You haven't seen that guy in the last 2 years.
Yeah. Not as often. Not as often. I mean, at times, certainly. Again, the ability that he has to – now, again, it sounds funny to talk about a guy that's able to avoid injury because he's hurt right now this minute. But in general, has – you know, so stout, so sturdy, so strong, and does a little bit of everything. So, again, it's narrow for me, but I go hurt slightly.
41 touchdowns, 20 interceptions over the last 2 years.
Yeah, that's a lot.
As a passer. For Jalen Hurts. I will go with Jaden Daniels over Hurts again in a neutral situation this weekend. How about Matthew Stafford, who does have a Super Bowl title, or Jaden Daniels?
Daniels for me. And I love Stafford. I always have. I've always thought he was underrated. I've always been a Stafford fan. But you at some point, where's my prolific content? Where's my Stafford that I keep arguing is the real guy? Hadn't been there for some time. Even with these two excellent receivers and Kyron Williams, I'll take Jaden Daniels.
I will also take Jaden Daniels right now, the way he's playing over Matthew Stafford. Stafford in his last game got off to a really bad start against the Cardinals, went 17 of 32 without a touchdown in that game, threw for sub 200 yards. In fact, in his last three games, Matt Stafford has not thrown for 200 yards.
No.
He's thrown for 189, 110, and 160. That should be part of the argument, I think, for people that say they'd rather Washington play the Rams.
It is mine, yeah.
Is that the Rams and Matt Stafford offensively are just not peaking. They've scored 12, 19, and 13 points over the last 3 weeks. They've really struggled to move the ball and score points offensively. All right, we're going through the NFC quarterbacks. We're trying to figure out where Jaden Daniels slots in. We're on to Baker Mayfield in Tampa Bay. Now, Mayfield, who early in his career played like a Jag, has actually put together two excellent seasons in a row, and this year is actually dwarfing last year. 39 touchdowns. He does have 15 interceptions, one of the highest totals in the league. He does lead the NFL in turnover-worthy plays, so he's going to give you a chance to make a play or two on the ball. But 39 touchdowns and 4,200 yards, he's going to go 4,540 tutties.
He's having an insane season. So,
and remember, Evans missed time.
Yeah.
Godwin's been out for half the year.
Again, this is going to sound like I don't love Jaden Daniels, which is wrong. I do. But it's undeniable how well Mayfield's played. I mean, he's been so good, and he's on a heater at the moment. Right, so it's probably slight lean to Mayfield, even you know, which is again is probably stupid. Just thinking about the playmaking that Daniels has done down the stretch, but what's more sustainable to me is dropping back and slinging it, and Mayfield has done that.
So I'm going to go with Jaden Daniels again. This is just based on I'm starting a game this weekend. He can go out and make plays with his feet. Now, if I need to have a guy stand in the pocket and just make throws. Well, I'll take Goff over him. I'll take Stafford over him. I might take Baker over him. But that's not what we're talking about. I'm just having a quarterback play a winning football game. And so far, I don't think I'm saying anything crazy because to that point, Daniels is higher in the MVP odds, higher in basically where you would rank quarterbacks based on their performance this season, you know, than most of, if not all of these guys so far. All right, let's go to a guy who's had a huge year, Sam Darnold of the Minnesota Vikings.
Another monster year, yeah.
Darnold, like Baker Mayfield, has some baggage, and you know, you kind of know that what you're seeing right now might not be the whole story, but 35 touchdowns, 12 picks, 4,100 yards. It's working beautifully in Minnesota. He doesn't get Jefferson and Kevin O'Connell in this hypothetical, though.
I got too much baggage with Darnold, and it's probably not fair. In fact, I'm sure it's not fair, but that's where I'm at. I would go Daniels over Darnold simply because I don't trust Darnold in the wild. I saw that Jets Darnold, the Carolina Darnold, the San Francisco Darnold, the guy that bounced around to 19 teams in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I know this O'Connell-Jefferson situation is good, and Addison, too, is really good. I think he's thriving, and he's doing all the right things. He deserves a lot of credit, but I trust Daniels more.
He's another guy, by the way, where, like, if I'm the Vikings, I'm not trading Darnold for Daniels for the playoff run.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because what they got, it's working for them.
It's going so well. The scheme is so good. The offense is a fit. I'm just letting that ride. So I think the only team I would say, honestly, even that maybe would be better off for their playoff run right now, the way things are going, like the Eagles,
because
Daniels is a better version of Hurts, in my opinion, and the Rams, possibly, because Stafford, just older, immobile, and hasn't been, like, dotting the I and lighting it up and driving balls into small windows. Last quarterback in the playoffs right now, Jordan Love or Jaden Daniels in a neutral situation?
Daniels for me. I thought Jordan Love was going to – probably, again, the curse of expectation maybe because of the finish to the season that Love had last year. I thought he was going to be an MVP candidate, and he simply hasn't been. Now, part of that's the injury, and he's missed a little bit of time, but not a ton. It just just has been disappointing overall in Green Bay. Again, the numbers aren't bad. There's nothing wrong with what he's done, but I sort of thought this was the leap year. This was the ascend into that, you know, NFL royalty along with Burrow and Jackson and Allen and Mahomes and company. It just hasn't happened that way. It's been good, but not great, so give me Daniels.
I'm thinking about taking Love. He's got 9 touchdowns since his last interception, which was way back in the middle of November, on November 17th. He's not turning the ball over or putting it in harm's way at all. Remember, early in the year, he threw a pick in every single game.
Yeah.
From his first to his 8th game that he played in, he was leading the NFL in picks. He has not thrown one since. He's been awesome. The last couple of weeks, their offense has kind of cooled off as a passing game. Number one, because they didn't need to throw the ball against the Saints. They beat them 34 to nothing. And then because Minnesota's defense is incredible. Brian Flores has been great. Just based on how much they struggled against the Vikings early, I'll go with Daniels by a hair. Meaning, Daniels to me is the hottest, best quarterback going into the playoffs. Now, he doesn't make the best decisions compared to everybody else recently. He's got a higher interception rate than Love and Darnold and some of these other guys. But I think when you add in the running, the playmaking, the making you right on a bad call, if you're just ranking QBs in the NFC right now this second, again, I'm not saying he's had the best season. Maybe Darnold I would take over him, or Baker. I wouldn't take Baker. Too many picks, too many turnover-worthy plays. But he's the guy for me. And the reason for this exercise is, what's the most important thing when you're trying to figure out if you can go on a run? Like in hockey, I'm looking at Caps highlights on the screen over here. It's the hot goalie. Can you get a hot goalie to carry you through series after series so you can go win a Stanley Cup? In the NFL, can your quarterback ball out? Can your quarterback go on a heater? Even nubby Eli Manning twice got on a run and the Giants made Super Bowl appearances.
Joe Flacco, man.
And he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Joe Flacco went on a heater. Brad Johnson went on a heater. Trent Dilfer protected the football and handed it off and made a couple of throws. Daniels has a chance to outperform the quarterbacks in this conference.
Yeah, that's not crazy. It's just, it's the fun part is just to remind yourselves what's happening, right? Like, it's a different way to smell the roses here, as we're kind of talking about, as they head into last week of the season game where they could win their 12th game of the season. We're talking about seeding in the playoffs. We're talking about where he ranks in the conference. It's just unbelievable. I mean, the prolific numbers of guys like Mayfield that we talked about, Goff, he belongs in that conversation. Just as a rookie, it really is transcendent. I mean, the thing that we said before, or I said certainly before the season, I want to speak for you, was everyone's going, well, what if he's C.J. Stroud? I went, well, hold, it's lightning striking. That's once in a lifetime. That's incredible. That's not a fair expectation for the kid. He's been better than that. He's been even better than Stroud was last year for a team that, you know, transformed themselves into a legit contender. It just, it's really incredible how amazing that he's been from start to finish with a little bit of lull in the middle, and you thought, okay, maybe now it's solved, maybe we slow down. Nope. He's played his best football of late when they've got less around them. No Eckler, no Noah Brown, injuries on the offensive line, no running game to speak of. Sorry, watch this. I'll fix it. It's incredible, dude.
I think the Lions, the Commanders, and the Vikings all feel great about how their quarterback is playing going into the playoff. I would say the Packers as well. Four teams all have to feel great. I think the Bucs should feel really good. I think the Rams and the Eagles are probably the two that maybe are just kind of like, we got to get it going here. We need to get more out of this offense. The Rams' problem is they can't run the ball. They're 30th at running the ball right now, and it just hasn't set them up to have success in the play-action passing game or just the passing game in general. He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. We're at Kraft House in Fairfax. We're in Fairfax Corner today for our Friday field trip. Let's do this next right here on GND. It's time because it's Friday in lieu of a double play to win off the field. So if you want to call us and tell us what little thing has made you smile today that nobody else would care about, we want to hear it. 800-636-1067 is the number. That's 800-636-1067. We got a Beltway Blitz coming up at the top of the hour right here on The Fan. Time to figure out how you are winning off the field. You can call us at 800-636-1067 and let us know how you are in the win column. First, though, Danny, before we get to winning off the field, I want to ask you, double play style, about this wacky story I heard. What should the punishment be? I want you to play juror.
Okay. Yep.
I've got my own punishment, but I want to hear you slam the gavel on this as well. A driver was caught going 107 miles per hour in a speed limit zone of 65 on Interstate 35, some random place in Missouri.
Wherever it is, yeah.
107 in a 65. What's particularly wild about this, other than just that velocity and speed, is that when they caught him, he was playing a video game while driving at that speed.
I'm sorry?
Now, I don't know if he was playing, like, NASCAR or
Need for Speed or something.
Yeah, exactly. But he was literally, as he's driving 107 in a 65, playing a video game while driving in his car.
Now, I don't think you should be able to do that.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
So my question to Danny Ruye as judge is, what's the punishment going
to
be?
You don't get to drive until I say. Whatever that is. I want years of unbelievably responsible behavior. But until then, you're not driving. That's where I'd start it. Second is, I'll probably take away that video game system and give it to somebody. I'm like, this is my creative court type thing. This is like no legal precedent. I'm going to take whatever video game system you were using, give it to someone less fortunate who doesn't have it. And then we're going to do some fines and maybe a little bit of time in the old clink. A little bit.
So I thought you would go harder than me. I'm going harder than you. I'm sending him to jail for a month. We'll start with that because you're an idiot. And then I'm taking away his license forever. He will never have a driver's license again. I will allow him to come back for a hearing to possibly get his license back in 12 years.
Yeah, I was thinking about a decade. Yeah.
12 years from now, you come back, we'll have a hearing. If you can prove that you're no longer a moron, you might get your license. I believe in second chances. But I'm taking away your license forever. And this is also important.
Yep.
You are going to jail for 1 month. Because you're an idiot. You that's as bad as drinking and driving or worse.
Yeah.
I mean, well, maybe not worse. But you're not paying attention to the road. And I guess if you're drinking and driving at 107, it'll be worse. But to go over 105 while you're playing a video game, get away from me.
I have a pretty hard stance on this, actually. I don't think you can play a video game while you're driving a car, man. Like, I'm willing to take that stand. I'm willing to put myself on the line there. And I love video games. I'm a gamer.
Don't sleep on 107.
Don't do it.
Rich is an Olney. Let's go win off the field here.
Richard?
On the phones. Hello, Rich.
What's going on, boys? How are you feeling today?
Good buddy.
So video games is a great segue. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure I might have perfected the art of parenting. I got my son to do almost every single chore on their chore list, and as payment, I pay for the $10 PlayStation Plus for about 35 chores that they have done perfectly for the past 10 days. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field?
When you talk about cost effectiveness, I mean a $10 PlayStation Plus membership, I might add, very worth it, and Rich benefits from it as well. That's pretty well done.
That's how you went off the field,
that's
boys
parenting.
And girls. Let's go to Bargov in Gaithersburg on Grant and Danny. How are you winning off the field?
Doing well, guys. Larry David said you can wish Happy New Year up until the 3rd, so Happy New Year to you guys.
Oh, that's an I've always kind of wondered that. Is that the date?
Now, I felt that was too early to stop saying Happy New Year. The first time you see somebody within a couple of weeks is fine.
I think you get 7 days to say Happy New Year. On the 8th, it's weird.
That's a fair timeline. Big win for me. My wife made something called a dosa. It's basically like an Indian crepe, savory.
Okay.
And it was perfectly circular, perfect amount of thinness, and it was cut in half beautifully with cheese inside.
Oh,
it
boy.
Was just yep. wonderful. Mm. Big victory.
Winning off the field?
Aesthetically. Perfect.
I like a good presentation.
Tastes amazing.
Yeah, I like a good shape in my foodstuffs.
Looking
for.
I'm in that. Cynthia is in Rockville. Hello, Cynthia.
Hi, Cynthia.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen, and a Happy New Year to you, since that guy said it. This morning, I won tickets to next Friday's Caps game. So, therefore, I think I am...
Winning off the field.
There you have it. You're going to go watch the Capitals play some hockey. And Alex Ovechkin get a little closer to Wayne Gretzky, hopefully.
Well, he scores every game, so you're probably going to see it.
24 goals away from the great one as we're just under 50 games to go now in the season. Well, I guess we're well under that, but probably just under 40 games to go in the NHL season. He needs 24 goals. Next Caps game, by the way, New York Rangers, noon puck drop
the
at
noon piece.
Home mm-hmm. tomorrow.
So the thing that I am not going to do anymore... And I've learned my lesson over the years, and I'm just doubling down, maybe tripling down. Maybe I'm triple stamping, rubber stamp. I don't even know. I'm not going to say that Ovi can't do something. Just out. That is out. Where it's like, I don't think he does it this year. That's not something I'm going to say other than to say I'm not going to say it. He absolutely can. That's all. He's incredible. He's a cyborg. He's from the future. He was built by Cyberdyne Systems. Miles Bennett Dyson's the man most directly responsible, if you know your Terminator lore. He is so unbelievably amazing. And it's all happening right in front of us. We should be thanking our lucky stars every day.
Speaking of happening right in front of us, I'm getting tweets from people around the DMV saying they're now getting the hail that came here. So a guy in D.C. named Commander Mike says it's beginning to raise hail here in Southeast. I see exactly what I saw then. That's how it starts. It ends with like an inch of
then
snow.
Then it turns very snowy.
In like 30 seconds. I got someone here. They're in a neighborhood with grass. So that's in the suburbs somewhere.
Yeah, there's, yep.
They're saying... They're getting the
Look
hail
that,
thing.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Mm-hmm.
The hail is being raised. It's a good sign, good omen, with the Commanders closing in on the playoffs. The Beltway Blitz comes your way at the top of the hour. We're live at the Kraft House in Fairfax. We're going to be here throughout the show today. Come on by and say hello. Hang out with us for the next couple of hours on Grant and Danny.
Winning off the field.